So I would bring my heart. I would just leave everything for the team to bring the team forward for the glory. And I'm to be a player, trying to be everywhere, help the team as much as I can, and just leave my heart for the team. Definitely improve my skating. I think it will help me to get to our level. So I would say that.
That's Sabres first round pick, Roddy Mertka. See him in a couple of years.
Yeah, he was going a little bit viral for a minute there.
For which reason?
Because there was a picture circulating of him at the Sabres press table, like taking questions with the Sabre uniform and the jersey on, and he looked absolutely miserable at the table. But apparently that's just kind of him, I guess.
Okay.
I thought of Stephon Gilmore for this immediately. And then also Matt Beauvais tweeted out a picture from the Zoom call where he's smiling like ear to ear. So I think we're good.
Did anyone else? I'm not going to do this other than tell you, if you want to go ahead and search it, you could do that. Anyone else catch what is reported to be his nickname?
I did.
Okay. All right. Yes. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 is our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550.
I went to a wedding this weekend, and trust me, that was the most conversation about him was, yeah, a nickname. All right. You can go find that for yourself if you want it.
What's this wedding idea of the day, by the way?
There was a 3-day Jeff Bezos wedding this weekend.
All right.
And day 3 was a full-on pajama party. Pajamas at weddings. Hey, guys, instead of doing suits and dresses. Well, yeah, wear pajamas. Good, bad?
Sure. Fine.
Fine? You wouldn't do it, though.
Well, I mean, if I get invited to a party, a wedding where you are wearing pajamas.
What would you do then? Because I have like flannel pants.
Well, first off, what would you do if you were invited to a 3-day wedding? If it's, you know, on some island, yacht, whatever. It had to be somewhere.
This was in Venice.
Had to be somewhere nice.
It was Venice. Yeah.
But like, ooh, boy, 3 days. I don't know. That's kind of tough.
3-day wedding is a lot. Yeah.
You can invite me to a wedding on the space station. 3 days.
It would have to be a destination wedding, obviously.
Yeah. You're right. I don't think you just stay in town at, you know, the local fire hall for 3 days. All due respect
to
fire halls.
Hey, guys, this is going
to
be a marathon wedding. Get ready.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Have something for you. I'm Kevin Adams and the Sabres in a quick minute. But first, today, the NFL Top 100 countdown begins.
Nice.
So I've got a piece up at NFL.com. I was reading about the contenders for the number one spot.
That's,
of course, they start at, you know, 100 to 90. So maybe we see a couple Bills players along the way. But the NFL Top 100 starts today. And then every Monday, they drop 10 players. That's how that goes, right?
Yep.
Throughout the off season here.
Mm-hmm.
So, do
we think we're likely to get a Bill between 90 and 100? Does that feel like the range for a non-Josh Allen Bill?
Sure. Pete Prisco did his rankings. He put Christian Benford and Deion Dawkins in that tier.
Okay.
And okay. I think it's very possible you can get those three are the three most likely to make it. If you're going after that, I wonder.
Wait, including Allen?
Yeah.
Allen and then Dawkins and then Benford?
Yeah. I would give Shakir an outside chance.
I almost feel like.
At getting in. I
don't think Shakir over Benford even?
Benford is
better, I think, in what he does. But I still just have this feeling that Benford.
Nobody knows
he exists.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is, but I don't feel. Like. He got one all-pro vote last year, right? Like I feel like Sharps know Benford.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Schatz was the one, I think, who gave him an all-pro vote. Pete Prisco, you know, puts him in his top 100. But are players going to know, like, that dude,
yes.
He's a dog?
I think
you think they're more likely?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because, yeah, that's what separates this one. I always appreciate this one because, you know, we all sit around and argue who's better, and then the players just kind of felt like, this is who we think we had a good year. It's also... It's not rings obsessed, which is nice.
Right.
Not about rings. It's not really about reputation. It's about who's good. The players have chosen other quarterbacks better than Mahomes multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Tyreek Hill's the best player in the sport. The players, they don't care about positional value. Well, you'd never take a running back. Here's 7 running backs in the top 100 because the players vote that way. Mac Jones, as a rookie, made this list at 85. You don't have to think Mac Jones was good. The players did. They thought, hey, look at this kid. I'm impressed by this kid.
Wasn't Carson Wentz number two once?
I think he was number three.
Number three.
2017, Carson Wentz peaked at number three.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't matter if they think, is it sustainable? It's just who had a good year. Who was tough to play against last year? So, yeah, I mean, I wonder about Shakir for that. Could he find his way onto this list? Anyway, the NFL's top 100 that begins tonight and runs through August 29th. So it's Fridays and two new play. Wow, they're doing it different this time.
They're not doing it 10 by 10 by 10?
No, are you ready for this?
What are they doing?
All right, the NFL top 100 used to be 10 by 10 by 10 by 10.
Yeah.
Starting Monday on X, NFL Plus, and NFL.com and running through Friday, August 29th.
Uh-huh.
Two players a day.
Wow.
Two players per day.
Like a slow draft.
Yes. Today we get number 100 and number 99.
Jeez. They are milking this thing. It's July. It's, you know, July. I'm you know what? I'm down with it. I'm down with it. There's no football stuff going on. They're trying to take down Wimbledon. How are they going to do that? We're going to release 88 and 89 today. Coming for you, Alcaraz.
Well,
that's wild.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be sitting on a patio or on a beach in mid-July vacation. Like, oh, yeah, was it? Oh, yes. A guard, 64th, and some defensive tackle I don't know very well, 63rd. Okay, cool. Anyway, two at a time?
It kind of gives everybody their own day. Well, they have to share it with one person.
But here's the real tough part for me. They're going to go two at a time.
Two a day.
From 100 to 10. And then the top 10 arrives all at once. Shouldn't the top 10 be the one that's the slow reveal?
That should be the slow reveal.
10-9.
Yeah.
On a Monday.
Yeah.
8-7. 6-5. 4-3.
If going to be slower, it would be that.
If there's one group of 10 you should actually pull out, it's that one.
Right. They should do 10-10, 5-5. 5-5, two, and then start going to the twos, and then maybe you do one by one. And you don't want this thing to go forever, though.
They're taking.
You just want July. You want it to get into training camp. How long is this going?
August 29th.
See, that's ridiculous because you don't need as NFL whatever. You're doing it for content, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the genesis of it? It's like, let's get us through the slow part of the calendar. It's the only part of the calendar where there's nothing NFL. Right, there's no draft, there's no combine, there's no schedule release, there's no owners meetings, no mini camp, there's nothing. This is supposed to fill the void. Why are you going all the way to August 29th when we'll be well into training camp, we'll have preseason games?
Right, there'll be other stuff to take over, and this will be just drifting along in the mid 30s.
Yeah, that's a little too far. Maybe they should have done five at a time.
Yeah,
Two dragging it out that long is pretty wild, which means we don't get the top 10 for 2 months.
Yeah.
And it starts tonight.
Friday, August 29th.
It starts tonight, and we don't get it for 2 months. Who's going to be number one?
Mm-hmm. You want to know who is on the list of players that could be number one? This is NFL.com, Grant Gordon projecting, like, all right, here are the players I think could be number one.
Okay, how many are there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, players that could be number one are going to be Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Correct.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Okay. Is there another quarterback here?
There is.
Jalen Hurts?
No. There is one more quarterback, though. It's Jaden Daniels. Whatever, it's just a guy guessing.
The players vote he's number one. What about, like, Myles Garrett?
Yep.
Max Crosby?
No. Jamar Chase, Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
And Patrick Sertan.
Okay.
Again, this is just one guy guessing, like, well, these guys are in the mix.
Seems pretty fair.
So anyway, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-552-550. Okay, so over the weekend, Kevin Adams and the Sabres, they make their draft. ESPN has given the draft class a grade. I find the idea of an NHL draft class even funnier than an NFL draft class.
Because
in the NFL, it's like, well, we can evaluate this draft in 3 years because the guys will have played for 3 years. In the NHL, if we were to evaluate the draft class in 3 years, most of the players still would not be in the league.
Right.
And
like, what's the first, right now, what's the most recent draft that anyone that like studies prospects or studies hockey would feel comfortable evaluating? Like in giving like a grade to you. Like, would you do
2020?
There you go. So 5 years ago, that's Quinn and Paterka.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Like, you can look at those picks now and go, yeah, Quinn at 8, probably not a great pick. Paterka, though, great pick. 34, great pick. So 5 years.
5 years. Anyway.
That's wild.
One thing about this, though, the breakdown in ESPN on their draft grades, less about the draft grade and more about the write-up. They gave them a C+, the Sabres. Whatever, fine. You don't have to care about that.
Okay.
Now, this write-up about what the Sabres did, I feel like they're going to be a lot of – this might be 50-50. You might like this. You might not like this. But the write-up says, Buffalo had a modus operandi that was quite a bit different from previous drafts, and it showed. Talking about Mertko, the number one pick, reasonable bet to play top 4 minutes in the NHL, fits the profile, big and hard to play against. That's a bit high for him, left significant talent on the board, but the Sabres clearly identified him as an organizational need. David Bedkowski, a good selection as one of the most violent physical defenders in the draft. If he makes it, he'll fill a depth role and be a nightmare to play against. And then they finish out with, there's a real chance that those are the only players who play NHL games for the Sabres in this class as they departed from their previous MO of drafting high-end skill. So the write-up is basically, you know, that they used to draft skilled players, and what they did in this draft was meat and potatoes, hard to play against. And their top two picks are guys that are hard to play against. To say anything of any team's draft and say, you know, their top two might be the only guys that make the NHL, that would be normal.
That's normal.
That is a very normal draft.
And you're giving a third-round pick a lot of credit to say that, like, he could make the league.
Yes, that's...
At 18. Like, odds would say he's... Just on where he was picked, he's what, 10% to make the NHL?
But when I heard Kevin Adams utter the phrase, tough to play against, I thought about another famous thing that happened in Bills history, which is, boy, took the sails out of our wind. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
All that, how that happened. There's a very famous moment in Bills history where an old coach... People get mad because I'm trying to, like, forget, I'm trying to remember this. But Malarkey said it. Like, Malarkey said they took the sails out of our wind, or maybe it was Greg Williams. And it's a gaffe from the Bills from 30 years before. You kind of said the thing you said before that was embarrassing. But whatever. Why did that come up in my brain? Because when Kevin Adams said, tough to play against, and he spent another offseason saying tough to play against, I thought back to a Sabres draft long ago. And I thought, can I find this clip? How hard would it be to find this clip? The answer is not hard. It's just on YouTube. 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Draft day for the Buffalo Sabres. They're beyond blue and gold. And the message is they want to be tough to play against.
And so when we got him, we had conversations about should we focus on forwards.
What about Zadorov? Well, Zadorov's still there.
Yeah.
My view of that is you need to focus on the player you think will have the best NHL career, and we'll sort the other stuff out later.
Smith, you want to get tougher to play against?
I do want to.
I think so.
I want to get tough to play against.
That's the route.
Zadorov just kept sliding, and he wasn't the plan. We just kind of looked at each other, so this was a no-brainer.
Pull the trigger, the big Russian.
Buffalo Sabres select Nikita Zadorov.
2013. So Zadorov ends up being a nice NHL player, has a nice long career, didn't last long here because Tim Murray traded him away because he had some issues like alarm clocks.
He had an alarm clock problem.
But I flashed back to, I've been hearing this team say we got to be tough to play against for more than a decade. The entirety of the drought, it's been about how we got to be tough to play against. And they never are. They never are.
No.
Why? Can anybody give a theory on that? Like a real honest theory. I've got an organization, a team, that has wanted to be a thing for 12 years.
Yeah.
That's pre-tank. Then they tank and they go get Eichel and, you know, they start going with some young guns and some young talent. And every other year, outside of years where they're trying to be bad, they are trying to be tough to play against, and they never are. And right. I also think that the fans would respond to that. The most the fans ever came back in this entire drought was, as you pointed out, one of those Granato years where they scored a ton of goals and they were really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Were they tough enough to play against? I don't know. I guess not. But they were fun.
And they won.
And they won games, and they finished over 500. I'm not even – I know there's value in what Kevin Adams wants to add to this team. I'm thinking to the article I read after Florida won the Cup, you know, what lesson will teams take? Will it be about the grit and the toughness and the physicality? Or will it be about, yeah, you need that from great players?
Because
that's what Florida has.
Skill.
They have skilled players that do all that. And that's going to be your ceiling for that kind of team. And there are going to be a lot of teams that chase the middle ground. And I think the Sabres are kind of in a spot where it's just like, we got to be tough to play against. It's the GM's sixth offseason. If this was something he wanted to do and he's still chasing it, forever ago they've been chasing this the entire time that the Pegulas have owned the team. Tough to play against. 2025, we got to be tough to play against.
Yeah.
2024 was the same message.
Yeah. And they let their best player lay on the ice without his helmet off and did nothing about it.
Right.
Not that that's the same, quite the same thing.
It's part of it.
It is a part of it.
Just kind of, it took me right back into 2013, that blue and gold, like, we want to be tough to play against. Remember, you want to say, like, how it's related. What's that after? That's after Miller gets his head taken off.
That's after those two draft picks, but also that is, they trade Derek Roy for Steve Ott, and they sign John Scott, right, because they just thought, we got to be tougher. And that's kind of where it all started going south, right? That's when it all started to go, ooh, this team kind of stinks, right around there. And is that just what you do when the skilled guys aren't good enough to get you to the playoffs? Is, well, we got to do something, and we're Buffalo, so we can't get better star skill guys, so we'll do this. We'll be mean and gritty. And I think that's when it could start. That's when it can really start going south. And
if you're not skilled,
the fact that they're not actually ever that much tougher to play against, you know, where there are like a story in the league, like, man, can you believe how hard it is to play against? They never get that. I think that's just when you lose. Is it more about the size of the player or the DNA of the player? Or is it more just the kind of a result of when your team stinks, it's harder for everybody to be like 100% bought in all the time?
I think that's a lot of
that stuff.
I think that's a ton of it. That's why when you watch Florida, why do all these players do it? Some of them have they do it all the time, and others.
But there's a wave that they're riding.
Yeah, they buy in. There's a buy-in. There's a buy-in.
And there's a buy-in, but it's all based in this team is great and this can win the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe that your team has that in them because they are 12 points out of a playoff spot, well, I think it's a little bit harder. It gets harder to be that way. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg. It's a hamster wheel, right? Like, just going back and forth and like, well, why aren't they like this? It feels like when you artificially pump it in, when your team's not that good in the first place, I don't know how valuable it actually is. If your team isn't actually good.
803-0550. We'll see how it goes. It's just kind of, you know, you get to a spot where you've been the GM of the same team for so long, and you're still saying tough to play against.
I saw also points made this weekend about, well, like, Lindy likes this. Like, this is a Lindy style, isn't it? Well, like, sure, Lindy in 99 maybe was like that, right? Around the best goalie in the world ever. Lindy's last two legitimately great teams, maybe I'm skipping over Dallas, so I don't remember, you know, what his teams were like when he went to the playoffs with Dallas. When he went to the playoffs more recently with New Jersey, what were they? Were they small and skilled?
Yeah, they scored a
bunch. Led by Jack Hughes. What were the Sabres in 2007?
2006, he won the Jack Adams.
He won the Jack Adams in 06, and what were they in 07? Were they setting records with how many goals they scored with small forwards? So, like,
mobile defenseman.
Does Lindy like it? Or did Lindy, like, because I've got two Lindy teams, two of his most successful teams ever, which were small skill, let's go out score them. And this team is the opposite of that right now. They're big. They might be able to score still. They were good at scoring last year.
Yeah.
And I've only taken Paterka off that. They certainly are big, though. They actually updated after the Timmins trade on Saturday. They're now the second tallest team in the NHL. So they're big. They got that. They wanted to be that, and they are that.
803-0550. If you want to jump in, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on a beautiful Monday morning. Last day of June. Tomorrow, July 1st, unrestricted free agency. You know, maybe they just shock us. Maybe they blow us away.
What would be the minimum for shock? They're not getting Marner.
A top six player would shock me.
Like
a legitimate top six player.
Like if they sign Nikolai Ehlers tomorrow.
Yes.
That would be shocking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Brock Besser. That'd be shocking, right?
Yes.
There's only a couple of those guys.
That they would get it done, that they would get that commitment. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe surprise is the correct answer here, but
John Tavares, Brad Marchand, that's got to be the end of the list. Like one of those five.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane.
Tavares signed.
Thank you. That's right. Tavares signed.
So he's off the extended list. In Toronto.
Yep.
All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, more of your phone calls. Paul Hamilton, top of the hour here on WGR.
I know past 14 years have been a lot of struggle, you know, a lot of hard times. And I know the fans, you know, a lot of the fans have stuck with it throughout that whole time period. And a team that's really looking forward to the future and just trying to, you know, take steps forward. And it's a blue collar city. You know, there's a lot of rich history within the city. You know, I believe it was steel or we, you know, those were the industries there. And so, like I said, a blue collar city, and I'm sure the fans will appreciate my game. Probably very similar to what it is in Owen Sound, you know, a smaller market, you know, going to draw from smaller cities out of town. And
Sabres draft pick David Bitkowski. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Monday. Short week. 4th of July coming up, you know, short week.
4th on a Friday. Good, right?
All right, sure. Yeah. Why not?
Not having to work the next morning.
Busy week.
Stay up for fireworks.
So, quick recap of the weekend and a bunch of events that happened over the weekend locally. The Ride for Roswell had a chance to go out there on Friday for the Celebration of Hope. It was my first time ever going to the Celebration of Hope at Roswell, which is where they have a peloton of bikers ride from Roswell out to UB.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, what an event that was. Just to be there for that, it felt like an honor to be there. So many people, so many stories, and so much money raised by the Ride for Roswell. Really an incredible fundraising event we have locally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam Bonini up on stage are announcing the number, and just incredible. Had the chance to meet Mitch Flynn, who's basically the founder of the ride 30 years ago. He had some people riding for 30 years. The WGR team, $19,000 raised for the WGR team. Saw Bulldog over the weekend. He rode the 45. Like just great, great time. So great event there. My 100 holes of golf on Thursday. Great time there as always. Great group of people raising money. You guys played in the 11 day.
Yep. They ended at $1.6 million, I believe, raised, or maybe that number is still growing.
Yep.
So
shout out everybody just
doing
stuff, raising money, and you know, if you can do it and have a good time in the process, you know.
Owen, are you fully recovered by now?
I am luckily feeling much, much better now. So it was a tough couple of days after.
And Josh played twice. Josh played forward and goalie.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a rough day yesterday trying to recover.
Owen caddied for me and then played in the power.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Only
that's correct.
Not like all 100 holes, but you know.
18. An 18-hole stretch.
18. Yeah.
Yep.
Not bad. It was a great day. I was not sore the next day. I was fine.
Yeah.
We had great vibes for our 18.
We did.
We had a great time.
You talked about the 18 where I defeated Nate Geary.
Yeah. You beat Nate.
I defeated one Nate Geary in a head-to-head match.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You hit the over on your birdie number.
I did. I had 10.
Ten
birdies on the day,
mm-hmm.
which is a good number for me.
We talked about this a little bit on Friday without you. How much further do you go on the gimmies on the 100 holes than normal?
There really aren't gimmies that go farther because people pledge money per birdie. And you don't just like estimate like, oh, you owe me $20,000 now. So there really aren't gimmies of a – it's tap-ins are gimmies.
Tap-ins are
gimmies. You had to make your birdie putts, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
All right. You did not – what if you had made that eagle? Would that have counted as two? You had an eagle putt. We were watching. It was being broadcast.
That's right. There are pledges for eagles as well.
Gotcha. Cool.
And that would have been pretty sweet if I made that eagle putt. Mm-hmm. It was a long putt. I had a couple eagle looks, but whatever. Is what it is. Anyway, NHL offseason upon us. NFL going to the top 100 soon.
Two per day.
Two per day. That starts. that starts.
Today, you really today. Hope they get at least an interesting player in here, and it's not back to back right guards tonight, right?
Yeah.
Because they're gonna want to make something of it, I think. But I'm trying to stretch the content out.
So, free agency. It starts tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Is Kevin Adams what? Is he trying?
My big question. I don't really expect that they're going to land anybody of significance. Are they going to try, though?
That's what I mean. NHL free agency begins on July 1st, the start of a period where, you know, you can just sign guys.
Right. And there are good names available. There are big names this year.
You know, the NHL has not gone to the thing that the NBA and the NFL have both gone to, which is the legal tampering period, right? You say Vegas and Toronto.
Yeah.
Where there's talk of tampering. And these leagues, I should say, opened up these legal tampering windows.
Yeah.
Probably in large part to dissuade from awkward situations like one team wants to sue another team for tampering.
Right.
Hey, there's supposed to be a couple days they can talk anyway. So if Marner signs 1 minute after, noon on July 1st tomorrow, noon.
Yep.
We're all going to say, well, they definitely talked to him before July 1st at noon. The season ends.
Sure.
And what are you supposed to do? Just not call these agents? So, all right. Free agency begins.
There's back channel. Maybe Vegas goes further with it, though, than they're this is one of those where I don't even know what it is, but is there unwritten rules amongst NHL teams where if you're going to back channel to the agent, you know, fine. But don't have like a... The owner flies out for a secret meeting with the player. Like, remember the Dolphins with the boat meeting between Stephen Ross and Tom Brady? Like, don't do that. Don't have a Vegas' owner fly to Toronto and like be wearing a black, like a dark hat and like a, you know, collar up, and he meets Mitch Marner in like the back of a bar or something.
You know, as don't you lay that all out, isn't Vegas the team everybody wants their team to be?
Yes.
They do anything to win.
Yes.
They will bend the rules. They will go as far as they can on the rules. They don't care about decorum.
No. They're pretty cold with their own players, too.
Yes.
Remember, they trade Marc-Andre Fleury, and you found out through Twitter. And They had a thing with Ottawa where they traded a guy in, like...
Dadonov? Was that
Dadonov?
It?
Dadonov. Something with his no-trade list that, like, they knew he hadn't submitted an updated one, and they like went ahead and like used that as an advantage. So they're pretty cold and calculated.
They're shrewd.
And
they're shrewd
is the word.
They're
for sure.
Shrewd about winning.
Yeah, that's
right. We are a hockey team in Las Vegas. We'll do what it takes, and we'll do things that we know other teams won't do. Whether that's exploiting long-term injured reserve, something else that they do all the time.
A ton.
Yesterday, I saw Alex Pietrangelo is expected to miss the entire regular season.
Of course.
And what does everybody think that means? Vegas is just going to put him on LTIR and take him to the postseason.
Yep. 100%.
Who knows if that actually happens, but it's what they do.
It sounds like that Pietrangelo thing is a little more career might be over.
Really, it might
be. Yeah.
But it's Vegas.
But right. That's where they sign guys... The other teams done this too, but they sign him to a super long contract at his age, probably knowing like this isn't really an 8-year deal. This is really more of like probably a 3, 4, maybe 5, because someday when he's 39, and now it's happening when he's 36 instead, he's going to have a really serious injury and he's going to want to walk away, and then our contract just... Like, we'll still pay him, but it's not going to count against our cap.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that. Was like, Pietrangelo was already pretty old, and they signed him to that long, long deal. And it's like, it's kind of like the Samuelson buyout thing we were talking about, thinking ahead so far to go, maybe we'll get out of this at the end of this.
It's like a version.
We'll be in good shape.
Yeah, it's like a version of when the Devils signed Kovalchuk to a 17-year contract until he was 50 years old. Like, we know he's not going to be on the team until he's 50. So basically, we're paying him more. Like, to him personally, we're paying him what? Let's just use a round number. We're going to pay him $100 million to him specifically, but we know like probably only 60 of that 100 is ever going to end up on our salary cap.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to get away with it. And Vegas does stuff like that all the time. I did see the league, though, wants to crack down on that. See if they actually do. There's a new CBA coming out. They're going to make it so that when you go to the playoffs, you still have to be cap compliant. Like, you can't do the, now I'm $20 million over the cap day one of the playoffs. Like, no, you have to be cap compliant in the regular season. You have to be cap compliant in the playoffs. And they're getting rid of the paper stuff with AHL moves. I don't know. They're changing stuff around a lot right now. But yes, every team wants to be Vegas. And they have their advantages too, right? They are Las Vegas. Probably a pretty cool place to live. They have no taxes, right? So Florida gets that advantage. So do they. And they win.
They win.
And they've won since the day they showed up. So anyone that goes there would believe, I'm going to a team that's going to contend every single year. Because you don't know a world where Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights, aren't contenders. They've literally been that every year they've existed. So they've got everything going for them right now. Everyone feels like they're going to get Marner.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe they'll lose Eichel in a year, but whatever. They replace Eichel with a guy who's basically as good as him.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-552-550. Tomorrow, July 1st. When was the last time they really stunned us on July 1st? Taylor Hall, right? But
that wasn't on July 1st.
It was when? July what?
No, it was November, right?
Oh,
October.
Because it's a COVID year kind
of
thing?
It was a COVID year, and the NHL season ended in like August.
Okay.
So it was in the fall.
Yeah, it's October.
It was October?
Yep.
So it kind of.
Sure. Fair enough. That's not a July 1st.
Was Okposo surprising when they signed him?
No.
He was the number one free agent.
Because Stamkos never made it to market. And Okposo came here because that was a team with good young players. And
yeah.
Like, the idea was having a player like Eichel will bring you other players. And Okposo got a big deal and
right.
cited that as one of the reasons. So Okposo is a good answer here.
But it wasn't like stunning when they did it. Like, we were kind of like, all right, like...
No. It did not seem impossible that the Sabres could get a good player back then because we were talking about, go get Stamkos. Then Stamkos didn't move.
Right. And there were rumors, but Pierre McGuire, in my head, once said, I think that, like, he thought he was going to end up going to Buffalo. Or it was, like, between Buffalo and Toronto, and he never made it to market anyway, so it doesn't matter. Because before that, like, that's kind of it, right? July 1st... As I'm growing up, a Sabre fan is almost always a dud.
It's guys leaving.
It's Breer.
It's Breer and Drury. And right. after that,
it's Leno.
Leno, Ehrhoff, Robin Regier. Well, that's a trade, right? Yeah. That's a trade. Yeah.
I remember Bulldog yelling about all they did was sign Rob Niedermeyer one July 1st or something.
Sounds right.
That's maybe when we were hoping more that they would actually do something, though, right? And they just never did until the one year. Was Ehrhoff July 1st?
Ehrhoff, they traded for his rights.
So maybe they signed him before July 1st?
Maybe.
They must have, because they had him before.
The Islanders traded for Ehrhoff's rights, and then the Sabres traded for his rights.
From the Islanders.
And then they signed him.
Okay.
$4 million, 10 years, right? 10 years, $4 million per year? Was that
yeah.
There?
See, though, most of
Which
these...
Which was, by the way, a great deal.
Yeah. Most of these July 1sts aren't... They're more expected letdowns. You know, they just kind of come and go. Or like, I'm not really expecting them to do anything major. So I don't really get that letdown. The Leno-Ehrhoff one, if that's even the same July 1st, that was the one where I was let down big time. Because that was Pegula just got here. Now it's time to spend. And all the let's go get Brad Richards build up for like a month.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
And I don't even know if they made it to the meeting. They might have got turned away before that. So that one always feels different because there was an expectation of that one. I feel like every July 1st since then, it's always pretty much been, yeah, like, if they do anything, it feels like found money.
803-0550. Paul Hamilton coming up top of the hour to talk with us about the Sabres, their extension for Jack Quinn, the trade of Connor Clifton, the trade of Peterka, the draft as well, recapping what the Sabres did for the weekend. Also, development camp is on the way. So that starts this week.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, right away, right to it. Today there's a practice. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Harbor Center. Practice today, 1:30.
Cool.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Monday. Happy last day of June into July. And, you know, we count 10 Sundays. I saw that. 10 Sundays away from Bills Ravens.
From the first Sunday of the year in the NFL?
It approaches. You can give us a ring if you want here on WGR. tracking towards July 1st in the NHL free agency window tomorrow. Sabres add Brad Marchand. That'd be a shock for you.
Ooh. $10 million a year. There is sticker shock I'm seeing already with some of these moves.
Doesn't he openly hate it here, though? He openly hates this place, like he said a couple things along the way.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto's talking about getting him, and he hates the Leafs, and has openly talked about hating the Leafs.
Yeah.
So, he said he hated the Panthers before.
True.
So, yeah, he could. No, he's not. He's not, though. Him in Florida, I bet, re-up.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
So, quick fashion question for you. Did the 100 holes on Thursday.
Okay.
Played with Nate. Nate wears the hats that have the big, huge letters on it. I have to discuss this because a guy saw a picture of us playing Steve, and he wanted me to talk about this on the show, the big letter hats.
Yeah.
Huge letters on the hats. And I said, all right, fine, I'll do it if you make a donation. Then he did. So
okay.
Here he is. Steve bought this segment with a donation to the Nerdles.
Uh-huh.
You have a feeling on it? You have a thought on it? The huge letter hats.
I've
got a couple Encore. There's some The Open. You know, you've got a coarse, big, giant. You could read it from 100 yards away.
Yeah, I think you got to have the right head size for it. If that
all right.
Does that not make sense? Some people would wear some hats, some wouldn't. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't wear like a dad hat very often. If everyone knows what that is.
What is a dad hat?
Like the kind of the cheaper looking
hat. It's like
hat
the whole thing is cloth and it's
okay.
Soft.
Yeah, they're not as formed as much.
All right, fair enough.
Like I wouldn't wear that hat. I think I would wear the hat that Nate's wearing right now. I'm looking at it. It said open on it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It said open.
It's just a style of hat. You'll never see me in a bucket hat, just to that point.
You'll never wear a bucket hat?
Yeah, I just don't think I can do it.
You don't think you could pull it off?
Nope. Some people look great in a bucket hat. I just can't do it. Does not work.
Now, what about like, so I was at a wedding on Saturday. A couple of people had those hats. I never know what to call them, though. They're like a hat you would wear at a wedding, like a guy would wear, like with not a fedora. What are we talking about? I'll find the name for you. But like, it was a hat that I would never myself try to wear. I'm like, that guy does pulls it off great.
I think it's a fedora.
Maybe fedora is the word I'm looking for.
A Panama hat?
Okay. Listen, Panama hat sounds more like the thing that I saw on Saturday. Yeah. Okay, Panama hat. Yes. More of a Panama hat.
I found a fedora Panama hat.
Okay, so they might be the same thing then.
Or at least adjacent.
But like, is that a hat you would think you could pull off? Or try to wear?
Probably not. The thing about...
I think Nate maybe could actually try that. Like, there's some people I feel like, and you might be able to pull that off.
Yeah. The thing about these hats, these kind of hats, is if I ever see one in a store and try to put one on, it does not fit my head. And that's the end of the discussion. These hats, they're not adjustable.
Interesting. No, they say one size fits most.
Some of them. They come in sizes.
All.
They're going to come in sizes. And
okay.
They're not going to fit my giant head. So, yeah. I don't wear those. This has been a hat conversation.
Yeah, so I guess final verdict for me, though, is I'm not huge on the big letters.
Okay.
Not huge on it.
There you go.
I don't own one with them, so.
Thank you to Steve for the donation. There's your conversation about hats. Big block letter hats.
I have the bigger question is Nate not matching his hat to his shorts. That's the worst crime here. He's got like a salmon hat and purple shorts.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Wouldn't catch me like that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that. No.
Paul Hamilton, when we return on the Sabres weekend, that was the full draft. What to maybe expect from here? Where they can try to add? And Byram is really the next big piece and the only big thing they can possibly do. I'm going to keep saying I'll take him seriously when they add a goaltender. I just think a real team adds a goalie here. A serious team doesn't just have faith in the goalies. They don't have faith they're going to be tough to play against. They went on, they added pieces to try and be tougher to play against. I'd like you to try to get more saves and maybe add a piece there if you can find it, if you can find your way. We'll get Paul's thoughts on that. 803-0550 on WGR.